Good to see everyone out again. We had a good Sunday school class and excited about a great day of worship. We take for granted a lot of times getting to be here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and we tend to want to put so many other things above Him. But this morning I pray for just a little while that we'll get everything out of our hearts and minds and come and worship Him the way He deserves to be worshiped. And He is truly worthy this morning. We just can't understand it. I know we have many prayer requests this morning. Of course, remember the Hightower family. Remember, I know Peggy and Rudy is down there, so remember them as they travel. We have several out sick this morning that have heard, so remember those and pray they get back their much-wanted health. And just so many, I can't even remember them all. Is there any more that I'm forgetting? Remember that family. I ask you to remember these. We've got some newlyweds up here going to be married in going to be newlyweds in a week or two. I begin working on my wedding speech.
And dance.
And my dance. Y'all don't want to miss that for sure. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to do anything I can to embarrass her. That's been my goal since she was born. So, We'd love to have every one of y'all there if you can for the wedding. Seems like we've been planning this forever, and it's almost upon us. So continue to remember them. We cut up a lot about it and the different things, but y'all that is married knows how what they're in for, the good times and the bad. So ask you to begin praying for them and pray that the Lord works in their family and that it stays a two-person family for a while. No, I'm kidding. Any other prayer requests before I get in trouble?
There are member Glenn Sennard, and also, I would say she's a sister-in-law, but Amanda Hook, y'all remember her, she's 40. She just went for a mammogram for her 40th birthday, and she just had a double mastectomy, so y'all remember her.
Pray for her and her family as she continues to get better. She was a friend of ours years and years ago.
Remember her.
Amen. Much in prayer. Anybody else?
Austin's friend.
I'm sorry?
Austin's friend.
Okay, yes. Austin had a friend and from New York, lost a 3-month-old child. And so y'all be much in prayer for him and his family as he goes through this trying time. Any others? No others? We'll bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the day. Father, we thank you for the many blessings. God, we thank you for the Sunday school lesson we had and for the one that taught it. And God, we ask that we always take this information, that we use it to become more like your Son. And God, I pray this morning for all the prayer requests that was made, Lord, we so many times we hear them, we never mention them, never think of them again. God, I ask that we change our ways on that we've truly become people of prayer and that we bring all of our supplications to you, and God, we know that you'll answer. Lord, we thank you this morning for our church, and Lord, we ask you to touch it in a mighty way, and God, that we'll be a church that's focused on seeing lost souls saved, God, and that you would use us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for our singers. They come this morning. Lord, I pray that you touch them. And Lord, that we sing for no other reason to honor and glorify your Son, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is my Jesus knocked at the grave. Jesus knocked at the grave. As you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, the mountains, my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You were mighty to save.
Rise up, rise up, rise up.
All it wants. Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeemed. Beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifting me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yeah.
Enjoyed that singing this morning. Excited about the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. As I began preparing for this week, I was thinking, and this morning another thought came to my mind. There was, most everybody in here probably have saw the movie Forrest Gump. I don't know how Forrest Gump can ever come into preaching, but if you remember when Forrest Gump's leader, Lieutenant Dan, told him that if he ever owned a ship, that he would a shrimping boat, that he would come be captain on it. He'd come help him on it. You remember when he came and he asked Forrest Gump a question? He asked him, had he found Jesus? And Forrest Gump, as he was, says, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him. And this morning, that's kind of the question I have for you, but is have you found grace? Have you found grace? You turn over to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6, you turn over there, give you a little background. As you know, in Genesis, begins telling us about creation and how God created man. That was his perfect creation. The best thing he had ever made was man, and he molded man out of it with his own hands, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And we know that we don't know how far down the road, but a little piece down the road from this, sin comes on the scene. The old serpent beguiles Eve eats, and Adam eats, and sin is brought into the human race. And as time goes on, the Bible says, and it come to pass, and as time comes on, people begin multiplying, and people get so bad that their mind is continually on evil. The Bible teaches this, that their mind become to a point where it was just continually evil. And the Bible tells in Matthew chapter 24, I believe, that the coming of man, so is it be in the days of Noah. And we look around and there are some bad things going on. We see bad things on every side, and it's easy to get distraught and all upset. But I want to tell you, the times is not near as bad right now as there was in the days of Noah. And they said their heart is continually on evil, and everybody's heart was on evil. Obviously, except for Noah's. And may I tell you this morning, I don't believe we're there, because even a small congregation such as us, we saw a need to come worship a risen Savior this morning. We saw a need to come to the house of God. You go right down the road about 3 or 4 miles, you'll find more churches that people saw the need. You go to Georgia, you'll find people saw the need. And you can go to homeless shelters and people are volunteering. You can go to places where people don't have any to eat and people's volunteering. And so times definitely is not near as bad as there was in the days of Noah. Now, I don't know how we talk about this in Bible college, how much further it'll be down the road the Lord comes. Nobody understands this. Nobody knows. The Son don't even know according to the Word. Only the Father knows. But times had gotten into a real, real bad place. People had gotten extremely, extremely evil. And in Noah chapter 6, if you would, stand to your feet, just reading of 2 verses. I know I only had one down back there for the guys, but I always have to add something to keep them on their toes. But in Genesis chapter 6, beginning verse number 7, says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. In verse 8 says, but Noah found grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. God, we ask you to touch us this morning as we preach in our weak way. And God, that you will open our hearts and minds. Father, I pray if there's one here that has not found this grace, that God, they will this morning. Lord, we pray that you just come in our midst, and God, your Spirit would overflow us, and that we could leave here saying we've never been in a meeting such as this. And God, that's our prayer this morning, that, Lord, we know I can preach a million words, but you can say one and change a life. And God, it's our prayer this morning for being this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I ask you that question is, have you found grace? And I begin thinking about some people throughout the Scripture that teach us that found grace. And it's just 3 of them. I'm not going, or actually going to be 4 of them. I'm not going to keep you all day. We're going to try to get out in time. But I want you to see how important it is this morning to realize that Noah found grace. It's important to realize these other ones found grace. But by the end of this, I hope you understand how important it is to understand that at some point, if you haven't, that you will find grace. So here Noah, it says in chapter 7 that God said, I'll destroy man who have created all the face of the earth. They've gotten so wicked, I'm going to destroy them. They've gotten in such a bad way, I see no other way to do this thing than to completely wipe them out and just to be done with it. But thank God, as the Bible teaches, there's always a remnant. And thank God for Noah there. And the Bible says about Noah, says he was a just man. Now I want you to understand something. Noah wasn't a just man because of the good works he did. Noah wasn't a just man because he raised his children right and because of all these things. Noah was a just man because of faith. Because of faith in Hebrews this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, listen to what it says about Noah. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You see, this morning, if man, woman, boy, or girl is to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, it only comes through that one word, which is faith. Which is faith. And listen, it's every single one of the sound of my voice this morning must find grace with God to be back into the relationship with God that God first ordained before the foundation of the world. He made man to be in His image. He made man to be in His presence. And when sin came, it separated us. And God so desired that man be back in the right relationship that He gave the best thing that heaven had, which is His only Son, Jesus Christ. There's a song in the Redback Hymnal. I know Pat may not know it because she don't like that thing. But in that Redback Hymnal, there's a song that says, He searched all through heaven and found one. I want to tell you something this morning. That song is not biblical. He didn't have to search through heaven. God knew before the foundation of the world who was to be the Savior of the world. This fall didn't take Him by surprise. Nothing takes Him by surprise. He's an all-perfect, all-knowing God. He knew exactly what He was going to do, what was going to happen before He created man. And in doing all of that, He still loved us enough to make us and to make us have a relationship with Him. And how great it is that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I began thinking about old Noah and how that he went and he began working on that boat. And he would go every day to that job. Now, those of y'all, how many of y'all in here went to the ark with us? Raise your hand. I know I see several hands going up that went to the ark with us. And as we was there, we began seeing what a massive thing that was up there. And that all that wood that had to be cut and all those things. And it just amazed me that how one man had the initiative to do that. And listen, it's the same thing that happens to you and I today. If we are going to have a desire to work for the Lord, if we're going to have a desire to do anything for God, we must put ourselves down, we must lay ourselves down, and we must pick up the cross of Christ and go forward. And that's exactly what Noah did. Listen, this is exactly why Noah was a just man, because he was moved by this faith. The Bible teaches that faith without works is dead. Now listen, you're not saved by works. The Bible teaches that. We're saved by grace. It is a free gift of God. But if you are saved by faith this morning, according to the Word of God, there will be some works that shows. You have people that tell me they know the Lord and Savior, and you can't get them to church for nothing. You tell people that they love Jesus, they won't tell nobody about Him. I got a question about that. I got a question about people who says they have a faith, but there's no movement. Listen, it says Noah being warned of God of things not seen. That's the exact picture of faith, ain't it? I've never seen the Lord and Savior in person. I've never saw this stuff. I've never saw God in person. I've never saw heaven. I've never seen that, but I believe with all my heart that it's there. And listen, Noah was moved with those things. And listen, why are we here this morning? Why are you in the house of God? Because you believe the same things that Noah did. We haven't saw what we worshiping, but we believe by faith that He is who He says He is. And from doing this, Noah prepared an ark. Prepare an ark. Boy, we could preach on that ark all day about how that thing is a picture of Jesus Christ and how the ark is the exact picture of Him and how Noah prepared it and how God prepared that ark for us. But listen, today, you must understand that Noah found grace. Do you realize this? This is the first place in the Scripture where it says that that anybody found grace. It's the first place in Scripture that grace is even mentioned. And what wonderful it is that it wasn't some rich man, it wasn't some highfalutin man, it wasn't somebody who was high on the social standings. It was a simply man that had faith in a living God. It was a man who had faith to do something when God told him to do it. I wonder this morning, how many do we have in the sound of my voice that fit the same criteria as Noah? I'll tell you the answer about all of us. I know most of us in here this morning, not many of us is very wealthy, I don't think. Not many of us hold a very high office or have a lot of influence in the communities or influence in our land and different things. We simply are people who found grace by faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank God for that this morning, of what Noah did. You see, if Noah hadn't found grace in the eyes of God, you know what would have happened? You wouldn't have been here. If Noah hadn't found grace in the eyes of the Lord, all mankind would have ceased to exist. All mankind would have been done away with because they all was evil, every single one of them. But Noah found grace and he made a difference. I want to tell you this morning, you may be the reason that your family members who's not even born yet or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, you may be the reason that they find grace. You may be. Oh, what it means for our grandparents. Listen, I remember my grandmother. I've told y'all in preaching many times. I wasn't carried to church as a young person. I never went. I would go to Bible school occasionally, or I'd go to Sunday school occasionally. But when I did, you know what happened? My grandmother stopped by and picked me up in an old 73 Maverick, Charlie. It was a grabber, yellow and white. And today it would probably be an ugly car. But back then, boy, it was the stuff, and I think my daddy actually ordered it for us, but I can remember coming up the road, and she never would turn in the driveway. She'd slow down, and she'd stop on the edge of the road, and me and my brother would run out and jump in that thing, and we'd go to church with her. And now, listen, I wasn't saved till I was 21, but I believe with all my heart that's where the seed was planted because of her faith and because of her understanding and wisdom of God. She understood that that little grandboy one day was going to need a Savior, and she began molding me at that point. Listen, grandparents, we've got a real responsibility. Parents, we've got a great responsibility to find that grace. He found it. Listen, not only saved his family, he saved his whole family, and they come into the ark. Now, I've thought about this many times, that as Noah preached this and he told them that the flood is coming, the flood's going to come. God said it's coming. That's why I'm building this boat. And I believe that everybody in the community, they would go out and they would say, have you seen what Noah's doing? He is building something huge down there. I don't even know what it is. He said it's a boat. I don't know why he needs a boat on dry land. He said that something called rain's going to come. I've never saw that anyway, never even heard of it. What in the world is rain? Do you believe this thing that he's doing? He's wasted 120 years doing this thing, and here it is. He's just crazy is what he's doing. It's the same thing that's happening as those cars pass by. This morning they're sitting there saying, do you see what those fools are doing? They're in there preaching and sprinting and stammering and talking about this man named Jesus. They say he's returning. It's been 2,000 years. We haven't saw him yet, so surely they must be fools. I want to encourage you this morning to keeping on. Keep going forward, because I promise you that God is going, the Son of God is going to return. And when he returns, how are you going to be found? How are you going to be found? If you haven't found grace, I tell you how you're going to be found. You're going to be found in a lost condition, and forever your home will be in a place called hell. Boy, that ain't real popular this morning, but it's the truth. The Bible teaches that the only way a man can be saved is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You can try everything you want to. You can buy all the self-help books, but until you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, there is no hope for you. Noah found grace. He was the first one to find grace. He was simply a man. I titled this one, A Man Finds Grace. The second one, listen to this, I titled this one, A Murderer Finds Grace. A murderer finds grace. Boy, that don't sound right, does it? Exodus chapter number 33, verse 12 through 17. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Boy, is that not good. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein it shall be known, here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight, is it not enough thou goest with us, so shall we be separated. And I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Found grace in my sight. Does anybody remember the story of Moses? Moses, as you know, was there. He was in Egypt, and he had been raised in Pharaoh's house. And as he begins seeing the mistreating of the of Israelites going on, and how mad he became, and how he wanted to do something, he was out there that day, and he saw that one that killed that Israelite, and he was mean to him. So what did he do? He took and he slew that man, didn't he? He became a murderer at that point. He became a vagabond. He had to leave the presence of Pharaoh. So he went out, and all this, he still found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. God used this man to bring his people out of that land of Egypt, which is a representative of sin. He used this man to bring them out. And here he was, a sorry, no good for nothing, a murderer. That's how we all begin thinking. We think when you come to a man, you say, will you be saved? Or will you do this? The first thing that man will say is, I'm not worthy to be in the house of God. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of God. Listen, Noah and Moses was not worthy to be in the presence of God. But bless God, they found grace. They found grace. You know what grace is? An unmerited favor. It's something you do not deserve. Hey, does a murderer, should a murderer be leading the very house of God out of Egypt? No, it don't make any sense. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace to lead his people out of that place. And here we are as he's let them out. He's here trying to decide, well, really, am I doing what God has me to do? And begins asking God some questions. And on down there in that verse 18, I think it is, he says, God, show me thy glory. God, if this is real, show me your glory. And I want you to see something this morning. This old murderer found grace. And listen, not only was he a murderer, not only was he this, but he was also very weak. Yes, he was a man of faith, but he was very weak. Why do I know this? Because God told him, he said, go tell my people to come out of that land of Egypt. And what's the first excuse he used? The exact same excuse I used when God called me to preach. I said, God, you don't understand. I can't even order at a drive-thru. I get nervous at a drive-thru. I don't want to go through them. I don't like talking to people. I don't like being in front of people. The Lord knows I can't stand and preach in front of a crowd. The last thing I want to do is this. And God tells him something, don't he? He said, I'll send Aaron with you, and he will be your mouthpiece. I have to get behind here because I'm about to tell a little lie. God told me I'll give you Stephanie. She'll talk to a stop sign. She'll go with you. She'll break the ice. When you go to a new church where nobody knows you and they're staring at you kind of weird, she'll talk to them. And listen, when you go to a place where nobody wants to give you a chance, she'll talk to them. When you go to this place where you don't know what you're doing there, and boy, you're scared to death, you can look out at her and she'll be a calmness that's there in the crowd. He told him, he said, I'll give you Aaron to go with you. And you won't have to say a single word. Aaron to go, Aaron to do the talking. You just are simply to be the one leading. And boy, I found this in my own. She aggravates me about it now because y'all know me. After I get to know you, I will talk your ears off. But until I get to know you, Stephanie begins talking those ears off. But here it was, if you ever read the scriptures and study the scriptures, Aaron says very few words. Aaron says very little bit. Aaron doesn't do a whole bunch, but God simply had the grace, and Moses found the grace to lead these people, even being a murderer and a weak man who couldn't speak, and weak as you want to think about it, and come up with all these excuses, God still used him. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, there may be somebody here this morning that has done something so bad, you say, there's no way God can save me. There's no way. God may save me. He may do that thing, but there's no way he can use me in a public eye. There's no way God can use me to bring about his honor and glory. I want to ask you something. Do we have any murderers in this place? I hadn't always been able to say that. When we was at Concord Baptist Church, there was a young man used to come. I say young man, he was older than me. But when he was 16, he got involved with a guy who was not a good fella. And he bought a car from this guy. And in the deal of the car, they got to be a fuss about a battery. And over a car battery, this young man was 16 years old. He killed this guy over a car battery. Now, the guy had pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and he had a bad temper, and he knew he had a bad temper. But he let one of his buddies talk him into taking a gun with him. And he took a gun for the transaction when the guy come to get the battery. And as the guy began pushing him and being ugly to him, he simply shot this man, killed him. And he spent some time in juvenile there in Georgia. If it had been a year and a half later, he would have spent life in prison. He would have been tried as an adult. At this point, he was tried as a minor. But the time just happened to fall of how it did, so he didn't have to spend his life in prison. But this guy got in church whenever I was first in church also. And I remember I was a little standoffish by him. I began thinking, I don't know if I want him coming to my house and being around my kids and my wife. This man has killed somebody. But listen, as I come to know this guy, I've never met anyone more humble. I've never met anyone more humble. And this guy realized something, that even though he had killed somebody, he had done what I think is the worst sin one can do, God could still use him. He used him at churches all around here. He would go give his testimony to young people. No telling how many teenagers he kept from making bad decisions. And what I want to tell you today, if you're here on the sound of my voice, God can use you. Amen. He found grace. His name's Shane Samples. He wouldn't mind me telling you. He found grace. He lived with this every day. He talked about how he'd get up every morning with this man on his mind for all of his life since he did this thing. But how he realized that God had forgiven him. And listen, he would cry as he would tell his story. And he would weep as he would tell it. He would beg people, never do anything out of haste. Never do anything if you got a bad temper. Take some time. Step away from it. He led many people, probably, away from bad decisions. He found grace. Moses, wanted to follow after God. He wanted to know that God was truly in control. He wanted to know he's in control. Hey, what if we was like Moses today? Well, if we were saying, God, I know that you're leading me. God, I feel that you are, but Lord, I want to know for certain that you're doing this. Well, I'll tell you what we would be. We would be in a way better situation than we many times find ourselves. Because we find ourselves many times not consulting God on the matter. We say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take off. I'm going to go on and do exactly what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I don't need you. That's what we eventually tell him. But listen. He done what was only natural for us, what we should want to do. As he come to knowing him, as he come to knowing more about God, to following more about God, as he began following God, more and more he desired to see more of his glory. He desired to see the glory of God. And that's what will happen when you and I realize that we have found grace. We'll desire to see the glory of God. We'll desire to see more of God. We'll get what we want to be around him. The reason today that people aren't excited about following God, the reason they're not excited about being in church, is bless God, many of them have never found grace. Many of them have never talked to him. They've never found him. They've never had an experience with him. They never have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And the reason that we can't get them here is, bless God, they don't know who they're serving. If they begin to find grace and understand what's been done for them. There's a song out there. I don't understand the words to it. It moves too fast for me. I'm slow. But if you ever stop and read the words, it's a great song. What does it say, Stephanie? When grace, what is it? Mercy me? Huh?
When grace got you.
When grace got you. It talks about how you got a different song in your heart. How you dance even when you can't. How you do all these things simply because grace got you. What happens is, it's when you have that moment. I've told y'all before about it. Kyle Adelman wrote a book called Aha. Aha. When at some point in your Christian life, you must get what God has done for you. It must click in your heart and in your mind truly what God has done for you through this grace. Many of us take this grace and we trample it under our feet. And we treat God as if I should have deserved this thing. If God, why don't I deserve more? You don't understand, God. I'm a Christian. I'm born in the United States of America. I deserve the best of the best. And that's exactly what I think I deserve. I want to tell you something. If you got what you deserve, you would get hell. That's what you deserve. But you found grace. Moses found grace. Noah found grace. This last one. Y'all remember anybody named Ruth? Ruth chapter number 2 verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, and thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now you see, a Moabite found grace. And a Moabite is a direct enemy of Israel, a direct enemy of God. They had false gods and all these pagan beliefs. And if you know the story of how Ruth's mother and father-in-law had left the land and had went to this foreign land to find refuge, and how God told them not to. He told them to stay put. He was going to provide. But they wouldn't listen. They went on. And in all that, you remember her husband died, her sons died, and all that was with her was her daughter-in-law's. And this one named Ruth, bless God, She decided to stay right beside his mother-in-law. She said, go back. She said, I ain't going to do it. She said, your God's going to become my God. Everything that's about you is going to be mine. And now you remember the story as they come back and they were starving. There wasn't much to be found. Bless God, there was a man, a kinsman redeemer. His name was Boaz. You remember that story? How old Boaz was out there, and he had done heard about Ruth, I believe. He had probably done heard about how pretty Ruth was and all these good things about Ruth. And as he come there, God had the timing just right. How she showed up and he showed up and their eyes met, and there Ruth was. And he told the people, the gleaners, the ones who was gathering the wheat. He said, I tell you what to do. He said, drop some on the ground for Ruth. Drop a little bit on the sides. And man, he come to her and he told her, he said, Ruth, you can glean anytime you want to in my fields, and you take plenty for you and your mother-in-law. And you did this. And listen, this is where we pick up in verse 10. She fell on her face and she bowed herself to the ground and said to him, why have I found grace in thy eyes? Boy, I began thinking about this. In church, if we get a hold a little bit of what Ruth did, we would have a different posture. We'd be on our face before God, crying out, saying, how in the world did something as sorry as me find grace in your eyes? Have you ever thought about that? Think about, I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. Think about how sorry you are. Boy, that ain't very uplifting from a pastor, is it? Think about this morning how sorry you are. Just think about it. You know yourself. I don't know you. I know me. And listen, inside of me is no good thing. Everything inside of me is bad, except for the Spirit of God that dwells there. That's the only good thing there is. But when y'all begin thinking about that, I have to say the same thing Ruth said. God, why? Why in the world did I find grace? Why did you find grace this morning? Have you ever thought about that? Of all the people in the world, why did you find grace? Why was you at that church that morning? That message was preached and the Spirit of God began pulling you. Why was you in that place and you heard that song sang, or you read some scripture one day, or whatever it was that it would come from the Bible that let you know you was a sinner? Why was you in that place? Why was you in that place? Do you think it was just happenstance? Do you think it was coincidence? Do you think it was by chance? I want to tell you something. That thing was God ordained to have you at that same place at the same time as that preacher, as that teacher, as that singer, so you could hear about this wonderful grace of God. And at this point, you get a choice to make a decision. You see, what's left out of the story many times is Ruth did not have to choose to glean. Ruth didn't have to choose to take of that field. Ruth didn't have to choose to follow her mother-in-law. She didn't have to choose. Even when Boaz offered her this offer, she didn't have to do this thing. But she realized something, that here was a man who loved her already. He had redeemed her. He was going to marry her. I believe she knew this already. When she looked in his eyes, I believe she knew this. I believe she knew that he was going to take her in. He was going to provide for her. He was going to be what she needed this morning. And church, if me and you could get a hold of that, how much better we would be. How much better? She asked, why have I found grace? Why have I found grace? When I first come here, y'all had a slogan. Anybody remember what it was? We ain't talked about it much. Y'all remember what's on the stickers and everything? What was on the New Harmony? Somebody say something. To know him and to what? You see this? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me? Why in the world would God, an all-holy, all-powerful, all-in-control God, why would he want to take knowledge of me? Why would he want to take knowledge of something so vile and so dirty as something like me? Why would he want to do this thing? Listen, it says, seeing I'm a stranger. Ruth saying, I could understand it if I was an Israelite. I could understand it if I was in Boaz's household. But here I am, a stranger. I'm a Moabite woman. I'm nothing compared to nothing. You see, in that day, a woman was nothing to start with, much less a Moabite. And she realized she was in that state. And she said, how in the world do you want to take notice of me who is a stranger, and you won't even know me? You even call me by name. You want me. You desire to have me. You desire to take care of me. Why in the world would you do this thing? I can't answer that. The only answer I have for it is Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think just a minute. While we were yet sinners. You see, a sinner is completely separate from God. There is no middle road. This middle road don't exist with God. All these benches are slid together. Sinners and saved. There's nothing. There's no middle. There's no straddling the fence. You're either for him or you're against him. But while you were yet sinners, while you were yet a murderer, while you was yet a sinful man, while you was yet a Moabite woman, while you was yet whatever you are, God loved you just the way you was. I've heard people say that I'll come to the church and I'll come to Jesus when I get where I can live it. I want to tell you something. You ain't never coming. You know why? Because you cannot live it. You can't live the Christian life. The only way you'll ever live, according to it, is by the grace of God, and He forgives you and He pardons you, because you'll never meet up the standards. While you was even a sinner, Christ died for you. Died for you. This is a personal love letter to you. You can put your name anywhere. Where it says that we, you can put you. It's personal. Why would He want to know somebody like Ruth? Romans 5:8. Why would He want to know somebody like Keith? Romans 5:8. Why would He want to know somebody like me? Romans 5:8. You can just keep going around the room. Why would He want to do this? Can anybody in this place understand grace? Can anybody understand grace? I cannot. I can't understand it one bit. You see, if somebody come and killed one of my daughters, I'm afraid the last thing I'd want to do was to die for them. If somebody came and took something from me that was my most precious thing I had, and I had to give it to make them live eternally, you know what? I don't believe I could do it. I know I couldn't, because I'm a mere man. But bless God, in all His perfection, in all of His holiness, He saw the fallen man, and He so desired you. Not just all mankind. Listen, I believe there had been one sinner in the world, and it was you. I believe He'd have sent Jesus to die that terrible death just for you. I believe He had Jesus to resurrect just for you. And I believe He'd had Him sit on the right hand of the Father, making intercession all day, every day, just for you. You're that important. You're just as Ruth. Love is the only explanation. The unsearchable love of God. I want to show you one more important than these three that found grace. John chapter 3, verse 16. We shouldn't even need to turn there. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, as I was thinking about these, of who's the most important one I can find throughout the Scripture, who's the most important one to me that I can find throughout the Scripture that has found grace, you know who I come up with? Me. I'm talking about to me now. I know I'm to love people as I love myself. I understand that. But I'm talking about getting right where you live. I'm talking about being completely honest. The most important person in this world to you is you. You're the only one that can control this thing of grace between you and God. God's offered it. Yes, He has. He's offered it. You get an opportunity to receive it. I want to ask you this morning. Not do you believe that Noah found grace. Not that you believe Moses found grace. Not you even believe that Ruth found grace, but this morning at New Harmony Baptist Church in a little place called Heflin, Alabama, at 11:50, when all of you is thinking about eating, I probably lost you about 10 minutes ago, have you found grace? Is there a time in your life that you can go back to and you can say, I found grace. I found God's unmerited favor for me. I can. June 27th, 1997, on the second pew at Concord Baptist Church, I found what Moses found. I found what Noah found. I found what Ruth found. Now listen, there's been a many, many times since that day that I have completely, absolutely failed Him. But I dare you to find a time that He has failed you. You won't. Have you found grace? Have you found grace? And lastly, we must answer, how do you find it? You see, this word found there is not as such as I've lost my keys and now I found them, because I searched them out. The Bible teaches it's not natural for a man to search God. God seeketh after man. God desires man. God finds you. How do you find grace? I told you at the start, by faith. By faith. How Noah found grace in the eyes of God was simply stepping out and trusting Him. Listen, church, I can't explain grace to you, but all I can simply tell you is I'm trusting Him to save me from eternal destruction. Because as I understand through the reading of the Word of God, that I have to pay a debt. And that debt is owed, and I get absolutely no way does my debt get canceled outside of my receiving Jesus Christ as my perfect sacrifice, as my payment for sin. There's no other way. By the way, all those Old Testament sacrifices, you know why they worked? Because the people had faith. They brought the sacrifice and offered it by faith, trusting that God would receive it. Nobody in the Scriptures, not even all the way back, as far as you want to go, every single person that has ever been spared and is with God today was saved by faith. Not of works. A sacrifice would be a work. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift of God. It's free. It's offered for you. It's offered for you. And sadly, in this great offer, boy, I saw a lottery. The other day, got up to so many, I don't even know how much it was. It was a bunch. If you live where Brother Derek lived, he probably dealt with it more than you did. Because they was cars forever. And those people just tickle me to death. Oh, they'll go there and stand in line for hours trying to win $2 billion. That sign up there can say $100 million. They drive right by. The people that played that stood a better chance of getting struck by lightning and bit by a shark on the same day. That'd be pretty lucky, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty... I don't know what I'd call it, fortunate. Struck by lightning and bit by a shark on the same day. Yet there's people sitting in houses of God this morning as I speak, being offered something that money can't buy. Something eternal, $2 billion, you can spend it. You can spend it. It'd take you a day or two, but you could spend it. You could lose it. One sickness come, take a bunch of it, and it could be gone. It would cause your family to separate. You wouldn't believe the problems would happen if you had that. But brother, I want to tell you something. If you find grace, is ever trouble on this earth going to be gone? Absolutely not. But one day after a while, amen. No more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering. Preach a message at funerals sometimes about things that won't be there. No more tears, no more separation, no more dying, no more anything bad, no more darkness, for the sun is the light. Have you found grace this morning? As we come, Pat, you come with a verse of, I guess Peggy ain't here, so we'll just come with a hymn. And if you would, please stand. You say this is the time of the service that you get to decide. You get to make a choice. Have you found grace? If you have found grace, have you ever had yourself at the point that Ruth did? On your knees before God, because understand something. That once a person realizes what grace is, there's only one position you'll find yourself, and that's on your knees before God. It's a show of humility. It's a show of you didn't deserve it. Only thing you can do to a holy God, you can't stand before Him, you must bow. Have you found grace this morning as we sing? I ask you, please.